very proud to be able to introduce you to the moderator who's going to try and control a fabulous panel. The moderator is Michael Milligan, who's got a significant history with respect to legal aid in British Columbia, which I think we better tell him about. He practices law with the Mulligan Tam Pearson. He's a long-term interest in the provision of adequate legal aid funding and advocated for in a number of capacities, including as chair of the CBA criminal section in Victoria, executive liaison to the CBA BC Legal Aid Committee, and a member of the National Criminal Section Canadian Bar Association. He's currently serving on the Access to Legal Services Advisory Committee for the Law Society of BC. In 2002, so quite a while ago, a dozen years ago, he organized the special general meeting of the Law Society of BC, which a non-confidence motion in the then Attorney General was passed in response to diversion of funds from the special tax on legal services away from the provision of legal aid. So he actually got the legal profession stirred up about the question of tax on legal fees and what that tax went to, not stopping the tax, but what the money went to. He's recently galvanized the resistance on the Trinity Western University social covenant of what you might call it, whatever it is. I'm indebted to him for that, as I think are the practitioners here in this province.
In my view, we find ways to complicate it sometimes, but essentially what we're talking about here is fairness. If you want to have a trial that's fair, in most cases you're going to require several things. You're going to require probably a judge, and you're going to probably require counsel for each party to make sure we have a fair trial. That's really what we're talking about here. It is an embarrassment when you read the reports that have been prepared by reintroduced tonight, talking about the fundamental failures in British Columbia, Canada in 2014. The sort of things which are talked about there, the failures to meet our basic international obligations that at their essence call for fairness, is an embarrassment. Our failure to meet those obligations are the sort of thing you would expect if you were talking about some communist country off somewhere or someplace you see in the nightly news occasionally getting bombed, not British Columbia, Canada. It's an embarrassment. When you read language in cases about not wanting to make only small incremental changes, great burdens on taxpayers, what you should remember in the British Columbia context, in my view, is this. We've had in British Columbia now for many years a special tax that was introduced for the purpose of paying for legal aid. The way that works is that if you go to hire a lawyer to help you purchase a house or for whatever other purpose, you'll pay a special tax that you don't pay on any other professional services. When that tax was introduced, it was introduced for the purpose of paying for legal aid for poor people that can't afford counsel. That's why it was introduced. That tax now collects twice as much money as the province provides to the Legal Services Society. The rest of the money is siphoned off into general revenue. It's like putting a tax on gas that's supposed to pay for the highway and taking half the money and spending it on something else. So when you hear talk about burdens on taxpayers and how are we to afford this and what about the healthcare system and all of the other priorities the government might have, you should bear in mind that people are paying for this, they're paying for it now, and they're not getting what they've paid for. So that's the basic context. People aren't treated fairly, the money's there, the government just needs to stop diverting it and put it to the purpose for which it was intended. With that opening. We're very fortunate tonight at the panel that we have here tonight. You couldn't have a more experienced or august group of people to talk about this issue. We have with us two experienced criminal practitioners, Birgit Edgar? Close. She's been practicing for 28 years in British Columbia. Most of her practice is doing legal aid criminal work. That's an astounding and impressive thing. Doing work of that sort for that period of time is a serious dedication, and she should be proud for doing it. She is, amongst other things, on the Legal Aid Action Committee through the Trialers Association. She's been She's been central to organizing a province-wide campaign to bring attention to the inadequacy of legal aid funding in British Columbia. It involves lawyers withdrawing their services for periods of time to bring attention to this issue. So she has worked in a dedicated fashion to get the bar organized so that people are aware of what's going on in British Columbia. In addition, we have Anthony Robinson with us tonight. He began his career practicing law at a large civil firm called Bull, Hauser & Tupper. Much to his credit, after a couple of years there, he sorted out that might not be the way to spend the rest of his years. A number of years ago now, he changed the nature of his practice, and he now does criminal defense work. He practices at all levels of court in British Columbia. He's a member of the Legal Aid Action Committee with the Trial Lawyers Association in British Columbia, and we're very lucky to have him here as well with his experience as a practitioner. We also have on the panel the Honorable Anne Rolls. She's a Court of Appeal judge, retired. She has an absolute wealth of experience in this area. We're very fortunate to have her with us today. She was originally called in 1969. While she was practicing, she built up a wealth of experience in related matters. She was on the board of directors for the Vancouver Community Legal Assistance Society, the Riverview Legal Assistance Society. She worked with the Vancouver Bar Association. She was a bencher. She was on the Legal Services Society board 1981 to 1984. She was originally appointed to the court, to the county court. She sat on the BC Supreme Court and then most recently on the Court of Appeal, retiring in 2012. You could not have a more experienced person here to offer her perspective and experience with these matters. We also have the Honorable Austin Cullen here tonight. He also has a wealth of experience. He graduated from the University of Victoria in 1971. He attended law school at the University of British Columbia, graduating in 1975. He was called in 1976. His experience included work as a Crown Counsel for many years and as defense counsel. He has experience doing both sides. He was Regional Crown Counsel in the Fraser Valley, Regional Crown Counsel for the Vancouver region. He was the Assistant Deputy Attorney General for the Criminal Justice Branch from 1999 to 2001. He was appointed to the Supreme Court in March of 2001 and became the Associate Chief Justice in December of 2011. You could not have a more experienced and impressive panel. Each of them is going to have a few minutes to provide some introduction and comments on this matter. And then the intention is to open it to questions. And as I said, you couldn't have a better group of people to ask. Thank you.
Thank you, Michael, and thank you, Lois, for that very comprehensive review of the law. This is yet another one of those occasions where I attend and acquire much more than I impart. So I'm very grateful to be here and to learn about that. I thought what I might do is provide you with a bit of information about our court, that is the Supreme Court, in terms of self-represented litigants and the impact that they have, at least in the view of the judiciary, when they attend to represent themselves. About 2 to 3% of the criminal trials we do involve self-represented accused. Most of them, not all, but most of them are there by choice. That is, self-represented by choice. Judges tend, I think, to appoint amicus curiae, that is, a friend of the court, to assist them to ensure that there is a fair trial in those cases where they think it's merited. But most of the trials we do in Supreme Court, criminal trials we do in Supreme Court, there are represented accused. The civil law is a bit different. About 15 to 20% of the trials we do in Supreme Court involve one party or more who's self-represented.